My name is Matt Schallenberger. I was born in 1978 in Kailua, but I live on the mainland now, just outside Los Angeles.
You know, there's been a lot of pictures taken here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe how yours are different.
Well, my photographs are, for the most part, and this whole series is all large format film. So whereas most photography these days is either digital or if it's film shot on a smaller format where you shoot on a roll of film. But each of my photographs is shot on a separate large sheet of film with a camera it's a newer camera, but it's the same kind of camera that people have used for the last 150 years. So there's a little bit of a different depth quality to them, I think, and a little bit different tonality to film photographs.
What kind of tonality are you talking about there?
Well, I think, especially in Hawaii, in a place that, well, there will know that there's something unique about the range of colors, and especially in Hawaii, the range of shadow. There are all of these different kinds of shadows. So in the Hawaiian conceptualization, it would be the difference between the shade under different kinds of leaves or the shade of dark ocean. And film is really good at capturing that sort of varieties of the same color, the same quality, so different kinds of greens or different kinds of blacks. I think film is really good at capturing that kind of diversity.
And how did you put that quality to work choosing your images?
Well, the series, The Leaping Place, the series that's showing right now and that I'm putting into a book right now, began as a way to find a way into my own family history. My family, my mom's side of the family, moved to the Big Island in the 1880s. So I started by researching the places where they had first settled on the Big Island. And pretty quickly, I had done a lot of reading in Hawaiian mythology and Hawaiian history, but always as an outsider because my family's from Portugal, and I think of myself, as I said, we moved around a lot, but I'm an outsider a little bit to Hawaii, but I found myself enamored of the Kumalipo, the Hawaiian creation chant, and really found myself attracted to the ways that landscape especially was described in the imagery of the chant. So I found myself looking for the landscapes of the chant and trying to apply, I've been shooting large format landscape photography for a long time, but trying to apply what I had learned about how to capture the landscape to someone else's sensibility, to the descriptions that the Hakumele had of the landscapes in the Kumalipo.
You know, you're not the first person to try to do this, so I'm just trying to think myself why I mm-hmm. felt your images were different.
I will say that I think, you know, as you say, there's no shortage. There's a long tradition of photography and painting in Hawaii and landscape painting and photography, obviously. The thing that I've always been attracted to in landscapes in general is the human element. So there's nowhere in Hawaii where you can't see the effects of some part of humanity, whether the history of industry or colonization or invasive plants. So that's one thing that I'm really attracted to or really interested in the landscape. So I try, even in landscapes that have, that don't have any people in them, and there are only a couple of my pictures in the series that have people in them at all, you can always sort of find small evidences of people having been there. And maybe that's something that is unique.
And you know, the title, The Leaping Place, I mean, there were so many, like, orifice type of places I felt I was
sure.
in. I loved it.
I love anywhere that looks like a portal. And once your eye is looking for that, there's no shortage of it in Hawaii. I started by photographing actual leaping places or places like, I haven't taken any pictures there, but like Kaena Point on Oahu is like a commonly understood leaping place. And I started by photographing those places and then photographing places that to me had that sort of mythical quality to them, and places that, you know, portals in the landscape always feel that way. They feel mythical because they feel like immediately transporting to another place.
I feel like you found like portals to all different kinds of places.
Really. I appreciate that.
And you know, there have been so many pictures of Kilauea Crater, but I saw one that you did that just where I think it was the time. I don't know what it was about that photo.
If we're talking about the same picture, I think, and that's actually one that does have a couple people in it. They're so comically small that from that distance that you really have to dig or have someone point them out to you. But that was a place that I think, you know, I've been coming back to since I was a kid. And that actual vista is a place that probably hundreds of people pass every day. But I kept coming back to it. That's one thing about large format photography is you take many fewer pictures. So it really is more like painting in a way. You keep coming back to the same place over and over. You keep waiting for different conditions. You're much more selective about how you take pictures. So that was a place that I was, I think I arrived. I had been there, as I said, many, many times before, but I think I waited several hours hoping that the light would do a certain thing that it did end up doing eventually. And and that was just a matter of being in the right place at the right time, but also having studied that place for a long time before I decided to take a picture there.
What time of day was it?
That was just after sunset, but there's, if you're, there's an interesting place looking over Kilauea Iki where the vent from Halemaumau in the background, there's a certain interesting thing that where the gases coming out of that vent sort of mix with the clouds at a certain time, and the way the sunlight filters or is filtered by them and tries to push its way through them gives a really ominous quality to the whole landscape. And I had seen that sort of light there once before. That happens a lot in my personal experience in photography. Is you see something happen by accident, and then you wait and hope for something like that to happen again. And that was a situation where several trips and several long days later, it happened to happen again, and I got lucky.
Kilauea Iki, huh? How do you look at, you're almost stalking, stalking places and times.
Yeah, it's, I use one camera and one lens only because I, and one lens that has, I'll get a little technical for a second, that it doesn't change focal length at all. So it's, that is to say that I have one perspective in my head or one, I can't zoom in on a place or zoom out from it anything beyond what this lens sees. So when I'm driving around or hiking around or planning pictures that I want to take, I have one, in a technical way, I have one perspective in my head because that's sort of all I can keep track of. So when I'm driving around or hiking around, I sort of have the frame and I guess in a way, sort of the literal frame of the that would be around the picture on the wall. I have that in my head, and I'm looking for things to fill up that frame, if that makes sense. That's the only way that I can do it without kind of getting overwhelmed by the whole landscape in front of me at once.
Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of strategize where you think something could happen?
I do a lot of that. And I also, my background and my education is all in literature. So I don't know if this is unique to me, but I do a lot of reading while I'm taking pictures. So, for example, with this one, I was reading the Kumalipo, and I would take either one piece of the chant or even sometimes a couple lines, and I would look for pictures or I would look for landscapes that felt like they, to me, illustrated those, just those couple lines. That way I sort of have a reference point as I'm looking around. And I think that's what a lot of landscape photographers do, not necessarily with books or literature, but they sort of have one small thing that they're trying to do so that they don't get overwhelmed by everything that they're seeing.
That's a way in. Yeah, it's a filter that would help.
Yeah, it's pretty satisfying too, especially when you have one thing in your head and then you go out and try to shoot just for that idea. You get, I assume you get this sort of unique sense of pride when you feel like you've captured it, because it feels more like a task than it does. I need, for myself, creativity in my pictures comes from really small, from limits, from really, really small corrals. I go out with a to-do list rather than an open-ended day. That's the only way. I would much rather bounce up against the walls of a small idea than wander around within a big one.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember any of the phrases you might have worked with?
I can tell you that the most important part of the Kumalipo for my shooting was in one translation, it's called the Dog Child Chant, and it's about halfway through, and it describes someone's journey to a leaping place. And it starts with these lines like, fear falls upon me on the mountaintop, fear of the pregnant night, awe of the passing night, awe of the night approaching, dread of the place of offering and the narrow trail. It's all of these lines of fear and awe and dread and this kind of ominous feeling of that I think is present in a lot of the actual Hawaiian landscape, and I think is a little bit neglected by or potentially a little bit surprising to people. But I personally am really attracted to places, and I think that people from Hawaii might identify with this at times where you're hiking in Hawaii and you'll turn a corner and see something that's not idyllic in the way that people often think of Hawaii, but something that's actually kind of terrifying, the way the shadows close around you or the way the fog moves in. And I was really attracted to that part of the chant and spent a lot of time trying to find the picture that actually illustrates that part of the chant. There are a couple different ones, but one is off of Pu'uo'o Trail on the Big Island, and one is on the slopes of Mauna Loa. And both of them have this, what's the way to put it? This really, really foreboding quality to them. Those are my favorite parts of Hawaii, and especially with this series, parts that feel a little bit haunted.
Maybe that's something that really does come across.
Oh, that's good to hear. I appreciate that because it's really my favorite part of the landscape and something that I hope that the pictures can convey.
I'm amazed you just remembered that part of the chant.
I've spent the last several years on this series, and there are people with, people who have not only their own life, but generations of relationship to the Kumalipo. So even in the last several years, the studying that I've done it can't come close to people who have their own relationships to it already. I feel like I know it very well, but I certainly know it as an outsider, not someone who's lived with it their whole life.
It's so wonderful to have that aspect of the Hawaiian landscape lifted up to, you're just so used to thinking of it's just bright colors and bright, no,
sure.
No shadows, no mystery. What?
Sure. And that's the thing that's so surprising and wonderful to an outsider, I think, about the mythology is it's so much about that mystery and so much about the connection between the living world and the spirit world and this idea, the leaping place idea of these of souls looking for places to begin their journey to the underworld. And the one thing I remember is the early, and there's a part in Hawaiian Antiquities in one of the footnotes in David Mallow's book where they talk about the processions of the dead, and how people along Mud Lane between Waimea and the Hamakua coast have seen these processions of ghosts traveling by. And I remember the first time I read that, and my parents live right next to Mud Lane, and that's a place that I've walked up and down since I was a kid, and always felt that it had this mystery to it. And it was lovely to find that people have felt that way about that place for a long time before I was born.